You're listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain for your Sunday, highs near the 50-degree mark, and breezy southeast winds up around 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain continues, lows in the mid-40s, gusty south winds, rain on Monday, and highs near 60.
Currently 38 degrees.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, why society should have a say in the future of genetic editing.
How do we protect humankind and animal kind and plants from whatever scientists or rogue scientists want to do?
But first, how do we maintain the low number of viral infections?
For the last 5 years, especially, if you remember during the pandemic, the numbers for the flu, the numbers for RSV, at one point they were almost had disappeared because everyone was taking the proper precautions.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With winter fast approaching, we're headed into what many deem to be the most wonderful time of year. The upcoming holidays give friends and families a reason to come together, sharing food, gifts, and memories from the past year. But intertwined with this joyful season is a much less welcomed experience. The fall and winter months are notorious for an uptick in pan-respiratory viruses like RSV and the flu.
It's typically the viruses that come around when we tend to congregate, spend more time, and seasonally spend more time together inside, and they tend to do better in colder environments. COVID being one of the newest of which that made a big splash on the scene.
That's Dr. Eric Griggs, Associate Vice President of Community Health Affairs at Access Health Louisiana. Pan-respiratory viruses spread through particles that an infected person expels when coughing, sneezing, or simply breathing. While anyone can catch it, older adults, infants, and people with chronic conditions are most at risk to have a severe case. Griggs says it all comes down to many people in these groups having compromised immune systems.
Immune compromise means your body can't function fully to protect yourself. If you have chronic conditions like diabetes, if you have chronic conditions like hypertension, if you have lung disease, COPD, and asthma, if you are age 65 and older, or you're a child or infant, the extremes of our society, the babies, their immune systems haven't fully functioned, right? So they have weakened immune systems relative to a healthier young adult.
And as we age past 65, our body's ability to defend itself begins to be less and less effective. And for these populations, getting hit hard by an illness means more than just missing a couple days of work. Catherine Hicks, an executive director of health economics at RTI Health Solutions, says that complications from diseases like respiratory syncytial virus go beyond health. Her 2023 study, published in the Journal of Infectious Diseases, digs into the economic burden of RSV for older adults in America.
Just in that 60-plus age group, there are 4 million RSV cases annually per year in the U.S., and about a quarter of those are medically attended. So three-quarters of people deal with it at home. From that, we also have hospitalized cases. We estimated around to be 173,000 hospitalized cases come out of that. And then 8,200 deaths as well. And there's some research that shows that more than half of people who experience RSV had symptoms that kept going after the acute illness. So that's really a large number that we see. And also about 1 out of 7 hospitalized people who are hospitalized for RSV end up requiring moving to a higher level of care.
The team took into account both direct and indirect costs that come with having RSV. The direct costs were made up of healthcare expenses such as patient care and hospitalizations.
We estimated that to be $2.9 billion per year. But what's really interesting about that, so 94% of that number was due to the 4% of RSV cases that were hospitalized, right? So it's a small sliver. A lot of those costs are driven by those hospitalized cases, which is a small portion of the cases, but that's what drives those costs. There are other costs that we considered in terms of outpatient costs and ED visits as well, but those were really just the remaining 6% from that.
On top of the nearly $3 billion a year in direct healthcare expenses, Hicks also calculated the indirect costs. These include productivity losses from being sick and missing work, as well as the loss from premature deaths caused by the virus.
From that, we actually found that those indirect costs were higher than the direct costs at $3.7 billion over the $2.9 indirect costs. So those indirect costs ended up being the total cost we estimated was $6.6 billion.
Hicks says a fairly large portion of the indirect losses is from premature deaths due to RSV. Her goal for these findings is to help inform the policy decisions around RSV prevention and care. The U.S. recommendations for vaccines come from the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or the ACIP. The FDA approved the first vaccine for RSV in 2023, so the ACIP's recommendations followed soon after.
And they recommended at that point that adults age 60 years and older receive an RSV vaccine on the basis of what is called shared clinical decision making. So what that means is that the doctors, the physicians, and the patient decide together whether it's appropriate for that patient to get. So there was a lot of discretion, clinical discretion in the decision. So that was the recommendation that was in place when our paper came out in December, this one that we're talking about. However, this past June, so about a year later, they modified that recommendation. So the ACIP now recommends a single dose of RSV vaccine for all adults 75 and older, and also for adults who are 60 to 74 who are at increased risk for severe RSV disease.
The CDC has a full breakdown of who falls into that category on their website. It includes adults with chronic heart disease and those who live in nursing homes. But even with the updated recommendations, the CDC estimates that just over 36% of all adults 75 and older have ever received an RSV vaccine. Grigg says a big reason for vaccine hesitancy is the amount of distrust Americans have in public health organizations, which partly stems from the mixed messages put out during the pandemic.
My job in front of I don't know how many thousands and millions of people every day was to explain that science is not a perfect. You're seeing how the sausage is made. So one day we might tell you to do this. The next day it might change because we found something that was earth-shattering and it will make a difference.
And though there was a lot of discussion about the best practices to protect Americans from the virus, vaccines themselves were not a new concept.
In the world of public health, vaccines have been some of the most transformative that we've found in the world, and most of them serendipitously. They've been around for a long time. We know that they work. People don't even realize they're protected because they first are exposed to vaccines when they are newborns. I'm going through that now. A lot of times what happens is we tend to doubt those things that we don't see. Because vaccinations have been so successful, like with smallpox, people tend to forget that it even exists. And they forget the cause and the reason that they disappear. So again, we tell you that science does evolve and say, in the meantime, take the vaccinations that you know we trust and know this will work.
The CDC estimates that there were between 17,000 and 100,000 flu deaths between October 2023 and April 2024. For RSV, the American Lung Association reports that up to 10,000 older adults die each year. Many of these deaths might have been avoided with the right prevention tactics. And though infants and older adults are the groups we most often focused on, Hicks doesn't want us to forget about the rest of Americans. Part of her research also looked at the age groups in between, such as 18 to 49 and 50 to 59. While the economic burden on these populations was less, it's not something to completely ignore.
So we were looking at only hospitalizations in those groups, the 50 to 59, 18 to 49 with risk factors. So they, 50 to 59, there was $1.1 billion in societal costs, direct and indirect, for those 50 to 59-year-olds. So those are people that are outside of the recommendations. And people with risk factors, 18 to 49. So we found a high burden in people with the highest total burden in people with obesity, which that was $358 million a year. Per capita, people with congestive heart failure incurred the highest cost per capita among those groups. But the point is, there is still a significant burden among these groups that are younger.
The ACIP doesn't have any current recommendations for these age groups, but Hicks says they're starting to have these conversations. Even for people not at a high risk for severe cases of respiratory viruses, proper protection can help minimize the annoying sick days filled with boxes of tissues and nasty coughs. While it may be a nuisance, the data shows that these measures work if you're looking to avoid a run-in with viruses.
For the last 5 years especially, if you remember during the pandemic, the numbers for the flu, the numbers for RSV, at one point they were almost had disappeared because everyone was taking the proper precautions. You know, the Department of Health and Human Services has a campaign that says risk less, do more. And it's one that's happening throughout this respiratory virus season, this pan respiratory virus season, to encourage people to get vaccinated. People are starting to realize the importance of vaccinations, that these are viruses and they're usually self-limited, which means that they will run their course over time, typically 1 to 2 weeks, and you'll tend to feel better. But vaccines can make you feel less sick.
You can find more information about Dr. Eric Griggs, Catherine Hicks, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, is CRISPR a fast track to eugenics? When Radio Health Journal returns.
Family time and get-togethers are where memories are made. Like when Gail and Ed whooped everyone at the card table. But RSV can leave them out of the game, especially if they're 75 plus or over 60 with certain health conditions. So let's keep the party going and make sure they don't miss out. Help them get this season's vaccines so they'll be there for the moments that matter most. Risk less, do more. Get started at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So my home is also my office. And before I can focus, every room's gotta be clean. That means tidying up and spraying my Febreze Air Mist.
Ooh, that's fresh.
Febreze Air Mist scents are all high quality. They fight any weird funk, and they give my air an instant boost of freshness. So not only does my home smell good, I feel good too. After I Febreze, it's time to start my day.
Breathe happy Febreze, la 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 la.
Since scientists discovered how to edit the human genome using CRISPR technology, we've been able to cure various genetic diseases. But this achievement only represents one side of the CRISPR coin. The two types of genome editing are called somatic and germline. Essentially, somatic editing only affects the person whose genes are being altered. The second type is germline, which has garnered a lot of fear. It still changes the genes of the patient, but it also changes the reproductive cells, meaning that the patient's future generations will be genetically altered as well.
When you start manipulating genes that then can be passed on to future generations, you're changing the basic nature of life. And so I think we have to be very careful and think about what our capabilities are and how far we should go.
That's Dr. Neil Baer, a lecturer at Harvard Medical School and Yale School of Public Health, as well as the editor of a new book called The Promise and Peril of CRISPR. It's a collection of essays from bioethicists, philosophers, and geneticists on CRISPR. There are a lot of moral, ethical, and policy concerns surrounding this technology. For one, should we have the ability to manipulate evolution? Some scientists have argued that modern creations like coats and vaccines have pushed human evolution forward, but Baer believes that CRISPR takes it to a whole other level.
Changing the human genome is very different from wearing jackets or taking antibiotics in the sense that evolution and natural selection take millennia to occur. And so wearing jackets in cold weather isn't necessarily going to change evolution overnight. But we can change evolution overnight in some ways if we start doing germline editing.
Despite its incredible potential, there are just a few regulations in place, which change country to country. In America, somatic editing is allowed. It's even been used to cure sickle cell disease, though the treatment runs patients around $3 million. Germline editing, however, is banned for research that uses public funds, which accounts for a significant portion of investigations. Still, there are no laws against doing it in a privately funded lab. In fact, scientists at Columbia University used CRISPR to remove genetic blindness from embryos, and researchers at Oregon Health and Science University deleted a gene that causes a fatal heart condition. Both cases were used solely for research purposes, and neither had the embryos carried to term. Baer says many scientists believe the regulations should be decided by the scientific community, but are the potential mistakes of self-governance worth the progress?
I've had scientists tell me that they can because they'll just make the scientists who do things that are wrong pariahs. But, you know, if you do something wrong, like say, make something that's more transmissible, like maybe bird flu, the outcome isn't really going to equal just, you know, wagging your finger at them. It's a terrible outcome.
Aside from federal guidelines, a 2015 international summit decided that it would be irresponsible to use germline editing on humans since there's so many unknown safety issues. However, it also stated that this decision should be reviewed as the field continues to advance. Despite this ruling, a Chinese doctor took matters into his own hands in 2018. He genetically altered the embryos of twin girls to make them resistant to HIV and was imprisoned for 3 years. Unfortunately, there's not much information on the health of the twins today.
We do know that these girls are mosaics. I think that that's been reported that they don't fully have it in every cell, but in many of their cells. And also, we don't know when we start to tinker with changing receptors. We do know, for instance, that people who had the mutation for the HIV receptor didn't get HIV or AIDS, you know, in the 80s or 90s, and they were very fortunate. But we also know that they're more susceptible to other things, I think like West Nile virus. So, you know, evolution has occurred to support life. And when you start to play with things like that, edit things like Dr. Hood did, the outcomes may not be predictable.
Which is the main argument against germline editing. There are so many unknowns when changing human DNA. The price of cutting out a genetic disease could be equally deadly, but we wouldn't even know until the child is born and the damage done. However, the other side of the argument is that many necessary advancements in the past had unknown risks, but pushing forward was positive for society. An essay in Baer's book talks about how in vitro fertilization was met with a lot of hesitation when it was first announced.
We all fretted about in vitro, we fretted about sex selection, we fretted about all these things, and it really didn't come to pass. So are we over-fretting about germline editing?
Though Baer doesn't think so, this argument points out the complexities of this issue.
What are human beings? What does it mean to be human? Should we have the ability to start to, you know, finesse humanity?
We seem to be getting closer and closer to these answers with each new study. In fact, Baer says the community began to rethink its 2015 statement after the Chinese researchers' experiment.
They started to say, maybe there are times when we should do germline editing. The example that's being used now is the parents or the partners are both deaf, and they have a genetic deafness that will be passed on to their offspring. And if both parents have that gene, their children will be deaf. And so some Russian researchers, there's a Russian geneticist, has said that's not fair to these parents. If they want a hearing child, we should be able to give them a hearing child. Well, the only way we can give them a hearing child is to not do it somatically once the child is born, but do it when they're an embryo.
While there's still the risk of off-target consequences, Carol Patton, who was born deaf, writes about a second idea to consider.
She doesn't see herself as having something pathological. She sees her deafness as something that is just part of her, and that's who she is, and she doesn't want to be cured.
And who gets to draw the line between what's acceptable and what's not?
In Denmark, women can have, or pregnant people can have, a genetic test for Down syndrome. And so they have probably the lowest rate of Down syndrome now in the world, because people often decide to abort the fetus, or if they're having pre-implantation, they won't implant that embryo that has Down syndrome. So where do you draw the line, and where are you, you know, who is one to say whether that person should be allowed to live or not to exist?
Some arguments say that using CRISPR to eliminate non-life-threatening genetic syndromes is simply a high-tech version of eugenics.
What does it mean to improve? Whose notion of improvement are we thinking about? Are we thinking about someone who doesn't want to have a Down syndrome child? Are we thinking about someone who does? Where do we draw the line? And so I think those questions about, you know, so-called enhancement improvement and having an agreement on what kind of things should be improved is very worrisome.
And even if we move past the ethics to limiting diversity within the human population, the ability to modify and exponentially increase human potential could take us down some dangerous paths.
So for instance, we know of children who are born without the ability to feel pain. Well, we could conceivably make soldiers, apparently China and Russia are investigating this, that don't have pain, or maybe don't have fear, or maybe have to sleep less. This is all kind of futuristic with enhancement. And so, you know, it's like for intelligence or strength or whatever, you know, that's, I don't know if we'll ever be able to do that. But for pain, fear maybe, sleep, people who need less sleep, and we can, you know, if we learn what genes they have that make them different, conceivably we could do that.
With so many unanswered questions and unknown risks to gene editing, there's no telling when or even if CRISPR should be used at its fullest potential. However, since we already have the technology in hand, the path forward seems almost inevitable.
How do we protect humankind and animal kind and plants, you know, from whatever scientists or rogue scientists want to do?
Bear's book, The Promise and Peril of CRISPR, is available now. You can find more information about Dr. Neil Baer and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Family time and get-togethers are where memories are made. Like when Gail and Ed whooped everyone at the card table. But RSV can leave them out of the game, especially if they're 75 plus or over 60 with certain health conditions. So let's keep the party going and make sure they don't miss out. Help them get this season's vaccines so they'll be there for the moments that matter most. Risk less, do more. Get started at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Medical notes this week. Pregnancy changes more than just belly size. New research published in Nature Neuroscience reveals how it also affects the brain. For the first time ever, researchers mapped the human brain over the course of an entire pregnancy. They discovered that while gray matter decreased during gestation, white matter, which is responsible for communication between brain regions, increased. Scientists hope these findings will lead to early detection of health conditions, like postpartum depression. How much does social media affect anxiety? Recently, the U.S. Surgeon General and American Psychological Association voiced concerns about internet usage for young people. Thankfully, the negative effects can be reversed. A new paper shows that college students who limited their exposure to social media to just 30 minutes a day had less anxiety, depression, and feelings of loneliness. The research is published in Technology, Mind, and Behavior. Is there anything that can cure a hangover? More and more people are using IV drips after a night of drinking to mitigate the headaches and nausea. However, Dr. Sandy Wong, a family medicine physician, says it may be unnecessary. IV fluids are only needed if the patient can't keep anything down. Otherwise, drinking electrolytes and water to increase hydration has the same effect. And finally, are adult braces making a comeback? While many people think of teeth straightening as a young person's game, orthodontist Nadia Kerr says nearly one-third of her patients are adults. In fact, many adults may need braces, or similar options, to fix bite problems and severely crowded or crooked teeth. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
Family time and get-togethers are where memories are made. Like when Gail and Ed whooped everyone at the card table. But RSV can leave them out of the game, especially if they're 75 plus or over 60 with certain health conditions. So let's keep the party going and make sure they don't miss out. Help them get this season's vaccines so they'll be there for the moments that matter most. Risk less, do more. Get started at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1-5-25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of two phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content, and tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain for your Sunday, highs near the 50-degree mark, and breezy southeast winds up around 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain continues, lows in the mid-40s, gusty south winds, rain on Monday, and highs near 60.
Currently 38 degrees.
This week on Viewpoints.
In the pandemic, I think a lot of things became crystal clear to people. And one of those things that became crystal clear is that work is not life.
4 years after the pandemic, what does the future of remote work look like? Then.
Women made better spies than men. They knew what to say in certain situations and knew what not to say in certain situations.
The forgotten history of women spies during the Civil War. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your Public Affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When the COVID pandemic began and much of the world retreated indoors, remote work became a way of life for millions of employees. Many people saw this as a temporary solution to keep businesses running during an unprecedented health crisis, but 3 years later, around 22 million people in the U.S. were still working from home 100% of the time. That's according to a 2023 Pew Research study. Now, as some employers are calling staff back to the office, some employees aren't ready or willing to go back.
There was a blurring between work and home domains, but it was in a way where folks were able to recognize that there's a sense of flexibility, that they're able to still work and they're still able to accomplish whatever they need to do at home. I mean, there are some challenges and difficulties in that. But it was an eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people to realize, hey, I can still work, and I can do it from my living room, or I can do it from my little office or corner area in my dining room. So I think that was a positive for employees to recognize that they could still get stuff done even though they weren't in a physical office building.
That's Dante Myers. He has worked in human resources and people analytics for large companies like Nike and BlackRock. Meyer says with more flexible schedules, no more commutes, and fewer interruptions from coworkers, many employees became more productive with the shift to remote work.
You see people working in ways that kind of work better for them. Folks were working more. Folks were knocking out more things. Folks were pushing harder because you don't have commutes. A lot of people were getting more hours in a work day because some of those other areas were cut out. Some of the conversations that kind of take you down one path. Folks are at their computers, at their desk, knocking things out for a lot more hours. So no, you actually saw productivity increase.
But today, many companies are calling employees back into the office to work in person at least a few days per week. Meta, Apple, Disney, and Nike have all increased the number of days in office since 2021. And in September, Amazon announced corporate employees will soon be expected to work in office 5 days a week. Meyer says the decision could have a substantial impact on Amazon employees and other companies who might follow Amazon's example.
I do think it sent shockwaves because it's provocative in the sense that it's not how folks have been operating over the past several years, and to require folks to return to the office in that manner, I mean, I think it raises alarms for Amazon employees. It raises alarms for employees that have across the board that have enjoyed and been able to capitalize on that flexibility in terms of balancing between work and home. And it raised the eyebrows and question mark for a lot of leaders across organizations to do the same and wonder if, hey, should we be moving back to this model too?
As employers encourage workers to come back to the office, they're finding that many workers don't want to return to a 5-day in-person job. A 2023 Gallup survey found that only 10% of people want to be in the office every day. The same survey said that nearly 40% of respondents said they would change jobs for the option to work full or part-time remotely.
In the pandemic, I think a lot of things became crystal clear to people. And one of those things that became crystal clear is that work is not life, which before the pandemic, work was life, right? And, you know, with people losing family and friends and seeing the world kind of upended and uncertainty happen, I think people have a reluctance to choose work over life anymore.
That's Anika Parker, Director of Human Resources at Zally Family Market. a grocery store chain in the Northeast. She says that when her previous employer mandated workers return to the office, the decision hit working parents especially hard.
There were several employees who had altered their life during the pandemic as far as gotten rid of babysitters. Some had moved. Some had made arrangements with their spouses that had different schedules, had signed their children up for medical appointments or activities that they couldn't do when they were working. And so it really turned several people's lives upside down.
Parker is a parent of three herself, and she says she faced similar issues when she was called back into the office.
When I had to go back in 2 or 3 days a week, it really took away my ability to be more present with my kids. So then I had to engage family members and lean on friends and hope they would say yes, take my kids' places, and then I would get there late. And that is very frustrating.
As some workers worry about losing their work-life balance, companies are also raising concerns about the sustainability of remote work. Both Parker and Myers admit that virtual work can have drawbacks for employers.
I think a lot of it is what was lost, from pre-pandemic. Some of the, I would say, the driving home culture or the in-person connections and the creativity and the brainstorming and the working together, some of the camaraderie that's developed, the team connections. So the answer is to bring folks back to the office.
Parker says there will always be individuals who abuse the freedom of remote work.
Unfortunately, there are people who took advantage of the work from home situation and did more home than actual work, right? You know, if you notice on Amazon, they started selling those clickers that could click the button and make it, click your mouse and make it look like you were working. And so unfortunately, there were some people who were actually not working at home and getting paid. And so I think all it takes is one bad apple to spoil the taste.
As Parker explained, staff members can set themselves up for success by advocating for themselves and letting their work and productivity speak to their work ethic.
I think employees can make sure that their leaders know they're working, right? Be present, be proactive, get on the calls, initiate calls, and, you know, make it known that you're doing great work. Like, do great work.
Both Myers and Parker agree that remote work is here to stay, but Myers says the better question is, how much remote work are companies willing to tolerate?
If it was up to me, I would say some kind of situation where there is some in-office activity, there is some in-office moments where folks can come together, depending on the work, to brainstorm, to initiate a project, some things like that, but that there's still a great degree of flexibility that's afforded to employees so that they can create the schedules or the balanced life that works well for them. Because at the end of the day, if you have happy, engaged, and thriving employees, it's going to lead to business results and performance. So there has to be that exchange between both sides that works best for both.
So how can companies and their employees reach a compromise? Meyer says it comes down to open communication.
If employees take more opportunities to listen and to read and to understand and to process and have open conversations where they share their perspectives, but not in an accusatory or in a defensive way. And the same thing, if companies open up their listening channel to understand why employees are saying certain things and to really, really process them, not come to their decisions already, but to incorporate the employee feedback, I think that's where we'll see the dividends that are paid for both employees and for employers.
To find out more about Dante Myers, Anika Parker, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Erica Linney. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Chevrolet. Chevrolet is supporting the next generation of Black professionals. Chevrolet is partnering with the National Newspaper Publishers Association to power the futures of 10 multi-talented HBCU students with the Discover the Unexpected Fellowship. Visit nnpa.org/chevydtu to learn more.
Coming up, more about four brave women who changed the course of the Civil War when Viewpoints returns.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of two phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Pour Downy in the rinse straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers.
One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
The American Civil War is memorialized all over the country with battlefields, statues, and museums telling the tale of the struggle to keep the country together and abolish slavery. Hundreds of thousands of Union and Confederate fighters died or were wounded in one of the bloodiest conflicts in the history of our nation. There were plenty of men who distinguished themselves during the war, like Ulysses Grant, Abraham Lincoln, or William T. Sherman, and we remember their names and their contributions to this day. There are a number of other patriots who fought just as hard and were every bit as cunning as the men we remember, but who are all but forgotten in history. Hundreds of women, yes, women, from both sides risked their lives fighting for their beliefs, but none is memorialized by name. Karen Abbott decided it was time to change that. Her book, Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy, tells the stories of four of them, two Union and two Confederate, who used strength, imagination, and intellect to help their side. But why has it taken so long to bring them to the public's attention? Where was Ken Burns in all this?
Actually, to be fair to Ken Burns, he does mention one of them in his epic Civil War documentary, Rose O'Neill Greenhow, who, of course, was a famous Confederate spy. But I think the answer to that is, you know, women weren't the ones writing the history books, and the history is written by men and about men. And, you know, it was sort of fun and a pleasure to try to give the women the credit they deserve now.
Abbott mentioned Rose O'Neill Greenhow, a widow who spied for the South despite her personal loss, sadness, and anger.
She was in a very interesting and difficult position when the war broke out. In the years leading up to the war, she had lost 5 children in 4 years. She had lost her husband in a freak accident, and she had lost her access to the White House. This was somebody who had had, for 20 years, very close relationships with many Democratic politicians. She was even an advisor to President James Buchanan. So she lost all of this when Lincoln was elected and the Republicans came into power, and she was desperate to get this back. So when a Confederate captain approaches her in the spring of 1861 and asks her to operate and form a Confederate spy ring in the Washington, D.C., the Union capital, she disregards the danger of that and jumps at the chance and, you know, goes on to get a cipher and delivers some very important information to the Confederate Army and makes quite a name for herself.
Not only was Greenhow a spy, she was what we would call today a spy master.
One of my favorite anecdotes in the book is on the eve of the first Battle of Bull Run, she summons one of her couriers, and she had assembled quite a team of couriers. And one of them is a 16-year-old girl by the name of Betty Duvall. And she ties up a secret dispatch in Betty's hair and rolls it up into a bun and tells her just to go across the lines and to write to Confederate headquarters and deliver this message. And Betty does exactly that and lets down her hair in this, you know, romantic, dramatic fashion and hands over this note. And the note, of course, contained important information for the Confederates on the first Battle of Bull Run. And Rose, you know, assembled her team and kept on spying after that.
Greenhowe, a Confederate spy living in the federal capital, had a counterpart, Elizabeth Van Loo, for the Union.
She was very shrewd. I think she was probably the smartest and most effective spy of all of them. She was sort of the direct opposite of Rose Greenhowe, whereas Rose was brazen and outspoken and very bold about what she was doing. Elizabeth was quiet and deft and very discreet. I think her biggest accomplishment was placing a former family slave in the Confederate White House.
And Abbott says that it was the stereotyping of slaves as illiterate and unsophisticated that helped Van Loo insert her maid into the heart of the Confederacy and steal some very important secrets.
Verena Davis, the First Lady of the Confederacy, made an announcement that she needed help. She needed to staff the Confederate White House, and does anybody have suitable servants she could borrow? So Elizabeth hears this and pays a social call to Verena and says, "Well, I have somebody for you. I have a girl. You know, she's not too bright, and she stumbles in the kitchen, but she should serve your purposes fine." And so she sends over a former family slave by the name of Mary Jane Bowser. And, of course, nobody knows that Mary Jane Bowser is not only literate, but highly educated and gifted with a photographic memory. So while she's dusting Jefferson Davis's desk and cleaning up the children's toys, she's also managing to sneak peeks at maps and fortifications and letters on his desk and eavesdropping on confidential conversations and, of course, reporting all of this back to Elizabeth.
Finally, Abbott profiles a real female soldier, Emma Edmonds. She joined the Union Army after escaping from an oppressive life in Canada.
She had grown up in Canada with an abusive father, and he threatened that he was going to arrange a marriage for her with an elderly neighbor. And she had seen what this sort of arranged marriage had done to her sisters, sort of sapping all their spirit. And she wanted something different for herself. She wanted a life of adventure. And so she cuts her hair and binds her breasts, trades her dress for a man's suit, and begins calling herself Frank Thompson and living as a man. And she migrates to the United States right before the war and starts hearing about the abolitionist John Brown and all the events leading up to the war and decides she wants a piece of this. She wants to enlist in the Union Army. And it's quite surprising how all of these women, there are about 400 of them, were able to disguise themselves as men and enlist in the armies, both North and South. And of course, she too goes on to have quite a few harrowing adventures during the war.
But how could a woman pass herself off as a man when living in close quarters with soldiers and enduring the required medical exams?
They just sort of had these cursory physical exams. They only cared if you had fingers to pull a trigger, if you had enough teeth to rip off powder cartridges, and if you had feet to march. That was pretty much it. So the doctor merely shook Emma Edmonds' hand and said, "You're okay, you're acceptable," and she was in as Private Frank Thompson.
How good were these women at going undercover to help their causes? So good that one famous security expert of the time sang their praises.
Alan Pinkerton, who was the Union detective, he was hired to do Secret Service work for the Union, and actually one of his first missions was to conduct a stakeout of Rose Greenhowe, the Confederate spy. He often said that women made better spies than men. They knew what to say in certain situations and knew what not to say in certain situations, and I think were more genuinely intuitive, as he said, and some of his best spies were actually women. And it was also interesting that Pinkerton and the other northern officials and eventually the southern officials, when they got wind of Elizabeth, what she was doing in Richmond, they just did not know how to deal with them. So even if they suspected these women, they didn't quite know how to handle them. You know, women were always the victims of war, not as perpetrators. And it was sort of unthinkable that women would be capable of this sort of activity. You know, not only are they capable of treasonous activity, but capable of executing it more deftly than men.
Abbott says women spies helped change the way women were perceived after the war. With so many war widows and few single men to marry, the ladies of the mid-1800s had to learn to support themselves in farming, business, and entrepreneurial endeavors. You can find out about the adventures of four of these brave women who changed the face of the Civil War in Karen Abbott's book, Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy. To learn more about all of our guests, head to viewpointsradio.org. This segment originally aired in October 2018 and was written by Evan Rook. Our executive producer is Amira Zavery. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
It's time to review the top three highlights of the day. I'm joined, as always, by my co-anchor, Snoop.
Hey, what up, though?
Snoop, number one has to be getting the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence at T-Mobile.
Yeah, you should hustle down to T-Mobile like a dog chasing a squirrel chasing a nut.
Nice analogy, Snoop. Dogs do love to chase squirrels.
And squirrels love to chase those nuts.
On to highlight number two, at T-Mobile, families can save 20% every month versus the other big guys.
That is very impressive. You know, y'all can take some of those savings and buy some Snoop merchandise.
That's exactly what I'm planning on doing with my savings. Snoop. Now, take it away, Snoop.
Head to T-Mobile.com and get the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on them. Now drop that jingle.
With 24-month bill credits, eligible trade-in on Go 5G Next. Well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 connection charge. Cancel entire account before receiving 24 bill credits and credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off device early. See how you can save versus the other big guys at T-Mobile.com/switch. Apple Intelligence coming fall 2024.
This is Viewpoint Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. In October, Walgreens announced it'll be closing 1,200 stores, about one in seven of its locations. Drugstore chains have faced tough times in recent years, and it doesn't seem to be letting up. CVS recently revealed a plan to cut $2 billion in costs and announced layoffs for nearly 3,000 of its corporate staff. All of this comes just a year after Rite Aid filed for bankruptcy. As pharmacy chains continue to struggle, the question remains, can they turn things around? After years of expansion and a boost from COVID vaccinations, drugstores are now grappling with changing consumer shopping habits and competition from retail giants like Amazon, Costco, and Walmart. They have also had to contend with shoplifting and rising inflation since the pandemic. Both Walgreens and CVS have faced billions of dollars in fines over allegations related to overbilling, staffing shortages, and their role in the opioid crisis. When stores like Walgreens and CVS close, it doesn't just affect the bottom line. Some patients have to travel further to fill their prescriptions. A study from the Journal of the American Medical Association found that pharmacy closures disproportionately affected low-income urban areas where the majority of people were on Medicare or Medicaid. One thing is clear. As consumer preferences shift and competition grows, these changes might have to reinvent themselves to survive. That's Viewpoint Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. One of my favorite storytelling devices is the non-chronological timeline. Sure, stories might seem to make the most sense in a linear fashion. This, then this, then this. But centuries of lived experience and storytelling seem to suggest that sometimes out of order just works best. Think about a TV show that begins at the end and then flashes a 24 hours earlier card so you can see how some bonkers situation came to be. When done wrong, it can induce a groan, but when done right, the storytellers have you in the palm of their hands. Its inventive storytelling structure is just one of the many reasons Citizen Kane redefined the language of cinema. In more modern times, one master of the non-chronological story is none other than the Oscars reigning best director, Christopher Nolan. His film Memento broke brains with its clever forward and backwards timeline, and it's since become something of a Nolan calling card. And of course, there's also Pulp Fiction, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Mulholland Drive, and an endless stream of others. It's also the approach taken by John Crowley's new romantic drama, We Live in Time, which stars Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh, and tells the story of one couple's life together, one anecdote at a time. Sometimes a new scene will begin and it'll take the audience a minute to locate where they are in the journey, but the end result is something a lot like our memory. We don't remember things in a perfect timeline, we remember in fragments and moments. With a non-chronological timeline, We Live in Time is allowed to make audiences laugh or cry at a moment's notice, so that when the devastation really hits, we can appreciate the totality of the journey instead of just the finality of an ending. We Live in Time is in theaters now. I'm Evan Rook.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Trail Mix 103.1.